Welcome back to the Atlanta podcast. It's your buddy. It's Matt. Mappy Davis. Bringing you new, fresh content on a weekly basis, he said, ? Ladies and gentlemen, I've got an exciting episode for you. Allison from the PGA Tour Championships. But before we do that, I want to give a couple of shout-outs. One to my main man, Stephen Brown, who I met a couple of years ago. We've been trying to work on some stuff together. And a couple of days ago, I went down to Pinewood, which is a new, what would you call it, community down by Pinewood Studios. What's Pinewood Studios? Well, they make all those gosh darn Marvel movies and lots of other cool things. And there's a whole thing happening down there, and we're going to get one of the heads over down there on the show to explain a lot more about it. But we did a media tour, and it was a lot of fun, provided by Atlanta Movie Tours, which I have another thing coming up with them that I can't tell you about right now. But want to give a quick shout out to Steven and also to Marianne. Marianne, great to meet you. She listened to this podcast in Dubai. That's amazing. Thank you so much, Marianne. Great to meet you. If you listen to this show, and I don't know who you are, drop me a note. MattBDavis@iCloud.com. How'd you hear about it? What have been your favorite episodes? What do you like? Also, as I always say, tell a friend. We'd love for you to tell a friend about this show so we can grow this gosh darn thing. On today's program, Allison Fillmore, PGA Tour Championship, which is a local golf tournament. It's the end of the year championship for golf. Now, let's say you don't care about golf. I certainly am not a big golf guy, and I don't joke. I don't pretend to know about it, and we joke about it a little bit. But we do talk a lot about her previous jobs, and she's worked for the Falcons, and she's worked for the Atlanta Dream. And you know me, I don't just like stick to one topic. We go all over the place. So it's a nice chat with Allison and I over at Muchacho. Give some love to my bros and sisters over at Muchacho. And let's get to it. Oh, here we go.
What do you got there? What's your coffee drink of choice?
My coffee drink of choice is black coffee with cream.
Because you are a real man.
I am a real
man.
And
I am not.
I choose the black, Mike. Choose the black coffee.
Right. I am not a real man. I got a froofy drink.
I'm doing keto right now. So I'm trying.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know, right?
Oh, my God.
I suck. I'm boring.
Did you have a cryo therapy session before you got here?
No, I did not. I made my kids breakfast.
Okay.
So
how many children do you have?
I have two little girls.
Okay.
7 and 10.
Okay, we can talk then. My daughter's 12.
Okay.
And my sons are 10 and almost 6.
Wow, you had zone defense.
Yeah, man. So your daughter is 10?
Yes.
So I'll give you some free advice, which I know parents love. Whatever you think is coming with the teen and the preteen years is coming sooner. That's all I can tell you. It's coming far sooner. And it was a massive shock to me.
I'm nervous. She asked me to buy a bra earlier.
Well, I wasn't even talking about that stuff. That is not daddy's department at all. I mean the sass.
Oh, yeah.
And the things that you think teenagers are like, the general apathy, my daughter went from daddy's little girl to not daddy's little girl pretty quickly.
I'm starting to see it. She's on her phone a lot more, just texting and talking to her friends, and there's drama that's happening.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff that I'm not going to be happy about dealing with, because
yeah.
I am a no drama type of girl. I hate drama.
Yeah. So
it's going to be a problem.
Again, thankfully, my wife's been in that sort of like girl stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, man, it's been, but they're back in school tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I know. I'm pretty psyched. Where do your kids go to school?
My kids go to Drew.
So do my kids.
What grade?
2nd and 5th.
So is Jackson in 5th? Our kids could be in the same class.
They could be. Do you know what teacher?
I just know.
Did you go to meet the teacher yesterday?
Of course I didn't. My wife did that. Come
okay,
on.
Okay, gotcha.
Now, I'm not like checked out dad. Like, I go to stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a parent-teacher conference, or if like they have those P&L nights, whatever they're called.
Yeah,
like,
PBL.
PBL nights, we go to those. You know, we go to the big end of the year stuff, but like, hey, let's go meet the teachers and find out what the kids need for school. That's usually mom's department.
So I sit on the board for the school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I know, right? But it's cool because I get the opportunity to be involved in my kids' lives and really kind of understand what the school does. So
do you know Okori?
I do.
Okay, so he's been on the show.
Awesome.
Okay, Cello.
Yep.
And do you know my buddy? He does all the Drew Dad stuff, and I can't think of his name.
My husband's involved in Drew Dad's, but he has not been the best in attending them.
I went to one, and I thought of going to more. And
yeah.
It was okay. Yeah. Like, it was okay. Mike? Mike Lester? Do you know Mike Lester?
I don't.
Okay, so Mike. Hey, Mike, if you're listening, you're probably not. Mike has been... I went because he invited me.
Okay.
To one of them. So anyway, what is your daughter's name?
So I have Taylor, who's 10, and Alexa, who is 7. And okay, she was named Alexa before all of this Amazon stuff came out. So I'm just prefacing that.
Yeah, my daughter's name is Siri. What are you going to do?
Is it really?
No. But I can tell you that, my son's name is Jackson.
Okay.
Davis.
Okay.
I'm going to ask my son when I get home.
Yeah.
And what is the teacher's name? So I can ask him that too.
So she had, oh my gosh, why am I, Miss Mitchell.
Okay.
Miss Mitchell.
Well, we could end up seeing each other around. Do you do pickup?
We used to have a nanny. Today's her last day. And they start the Rise After School program tomorrow.
Okay.
So.
I'm going to say, I don't think I've ever seen you.
Yeah.
I'm sure we've seen each other.
Probably.
Like at the end of the year stuff.
Yeah.
So if there's a song that they're singing at the end of the year, and there's one kid whose lips aren't moving, that's my son. That's Jackson. Not going to participate in anything he doesn't want to participate in. That's who he is, man.
That's who he is. Well.
The younger son is the opposite. He'll be like top of his voice. Like he's all about it. Jackson, you want to go to the coffee shop? Yay! Do you want to do this? Yay! Like, he's all about it. And it's not just his age, because I know younger siblings are like that. He's just, you know, get him, you give him a rock as a present, and he loves it. He's that kind of kid.
Aw.
Yeah, it's really sweet. And Jackson's a bit of a grump.
My kids are 100% different. Alexa's crazy nuts. Taylor's naive and just sits back and is, like, annoyed by Alexa's shenanigans.
Right.
So, they're crazy.
All right, so... We'll back up.
Yep.
You grew up where?
I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay. It's a party town.
Got out quickly.
Yes.
Left when I was about 25.
Okay.
Had an opportunity to go work for the Sacramento Kings.
Yes.
And went out there with my boyfriend, who is now my husband. I worked for the Kings. He worked for the Golden State Warriors.
Interesting.
Yes. We lived in the middle.
Did you work for the Maloof brothers?
I did. They were so much fun to work for.
You are such a big macha. You are...
Not at all.
You've been around, lady.
I have. Been around the sports world, yes.
Right?
Yes.
But now you're on... But now you're on golf.
I know, right? Dude, it's so exciting right now.
The NBA is so sexy, and you left it to go to the Yawn Fest.
I know, right?
Let's watch golf, everybody.
Not at all. Dude, it's so much fun right now. It's so exciting.
We're gonna get there. I'm going to let you pitch golf in a little bit.
Okay,
we'll get there.
Okay. So after the Kings came to Atlanta, we missed family, and it was hard to really communicate. I mean, my parents were in bed when I would call them. So came out to Atlanta. I worked for the Falcons. My husband worked for the Thrashers.
You guys just love the sports.
I know, right? After the Falcons, I was one of the first people to start the Atlanta Dream.
Okay, let's back up. You did what for the Falcons? What years?
I did sales for the Falcons.
What years?
2002 to 2007.
Okay.
I started right when Arthur Blank bought the team. Michael Vick was the quarterback.
Things were looking up.
Yes.
And then... That idiot.
Yes. Those were some interesting times for the Falcons. And actually, I was up for a position, and I was told I wasn't going to get it because I was a girl. And I ended up leaving. And moving to a different organization.
Did they say, we know this is bullshit that they're giving it to a guy? Or did they say, listen, lady, you're a woman. We don't give this job to women.
Yeah, you can't handle it is basically what I was told. So
not very woke.
Pardon?
Not very woke.
No,
of the
not
Falcons.
At all. Not at all. And it wasn't just the foul. It was the certain person. And he's tried to hire me a couple times since.
Interesting.
Yeah, very. So had an awesome opportunity to go work for the Dream. Was one of the first people there. Got
right.
to create the processes, procedures, all this great stuff.
Right.
Super fun.
Great name.
Yeah.
Atlanta Dream. Great
yes.
team name.
Great team. Great for the city as well. My
kids, we won something, right?
Yes. They did win. Yes. I can't remember what
okay,
year.
Let's go here. Let's go right now.
Okay.
We're going to go right, very relevant, very now.
Yes.
The U.S. women's soccer team.
Yes.
Did super great.
Yep.
And every time Olympics and or World Cup comes around, we have these conversations, right?
Yes.
About salary, about equal opportunity. And where do you sit on, one might say, well, listen, if the fan dollar was there, if more people went to soccer games or WNBA games, then, you know,
yep.
salaries would be commensurate.
Absolutely.
So where are you on all
it's,
that?
It's a business model. I mean, honestly, you're right. It's you get the people there, you can pay them more. I get it. It's tough to say, and I'm a female, and I understand it, but you work hard, you make money, you know, and that's kind of the same in all industries. I feel that there are a lot of guys that have my job, and I'm 99% positive that my pay is commensurate with theirs. PGA Tour is a great organization to work for, but it's a tough concept. These women deserve the money. They deserve to get paid, you know, just like men do. I mean, look at how exciting the World Cup was for the women and how many people came to their games and the support that they got. So I feel like they're kind of losing out on that because they did have the support. They had the people coming to the games. They should be commensurate with them. But it's tough when you've got, you know, teams that are out there and you don't have an attendance. So how are you going to pay these folks? It's all a business proposition. And it's, unfortunately, it comes down to how you make money and how you pay these folks.
Well, I'm someone, fans of this show will know, I don't really like soccer.
I don't either.
And I'm very skeptical. I don't think this admiration of the United is going to stick around. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on that. I feel it's very, we have a new shiny stadium. The team did well.
Yep.
It's the very hipster thing to do. And I feel like if they start having a few bad seasons and it's not a shiny, people will not go. What are your thoughts on that?
So I think that the United did a great job of cultivating the fan base early, and they did it really well. They went out and they, you know, talked about it. They went to the market and they, you know, murals all over the city. The one thing that's different about the United than any other sports town here is that because Atlanta is such a transient town, no one's from here, soccer is still such a new sport. This is something that everyone can rally around and say, this is my hometown team. That's the only difference that I see that's different than the Falcons or different than the Dream or the Braves. People can rally around it because it's their team. It's the only thing that they can resonate with about soccer. They didn't have a soccer team growing up wherever they lived.
Right.
So that's the only thing I see that's different than everything here. Atlanta is a transient town, again, so yes, if they're not doing well, I don't know how well that fan base is going to follow the United. I'm hoping that because of what I said earlier, that they do, because I think it's awesome what they've done, but again, time will tell.
Yeah, and I kind of like to be a hater, you know what I mean? It's kind of in my nature. Like,
okay.
I like it when the Bulldogs lose. You know what I mean? I like it when Alabama loses. I like when anytime anybody gets really upset, that kind of makes me happy.
Yeah.
So I have this thing, and I've said this before. So I'm from Boston.
Okay.
So I kind of have always had two teams, Braves and Red Sox, Falcons, Patriots.
Yep.
Right? And by the way, I know it's, like, super easy because that team has had a 20-year – that city has had a 20-year run.
Yep.
But I'm 47. So the first 20 years of my life, not so great.
Yes.
For either town, Boston or Atlanta, right?
Correct. But in 95, you had a nice year.
Which one?
You beat my Indians, the Braves.
Oh, yeah, but it's funny. So we can talk a lot about the Braves, but because I was actually, that was great to be a part of.
I'm sure.
That was phenomenal to be a part of because we were lousy not just the year. They made this whole thing when we played the Twins. We were both worst to first, but we were worst to worst to worst to worst to first. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was such a huge thing for us. And I miss the old stadium, and I miss the old stadium. I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
Like most, just so you know, like from a, you probably know this, but from a sports perspective, we talk. One of the things I talk about is sports teams, and we'll get to the end. I ask people like to rank their teams, and everybody pretty much hates the Braves. Like they have their people, their salespeople, their branding people. They got work to do because people are like they turn their back on me and F them, and they people feel it. You know, you talk about my team.
Oh yeah.
Right? People, and they didn't even leave. They didn't even leave the state. They just went a few miles north, and we hate them for it. But where was I? Where was I going with this? About the
Boston.
Oh, so I moved back to Georgia. So I was gone from 96 to 05. I missed the hip hop years, basically, which I want to learn a lot more about because it's like now it's become this like
iconic.
Yeah. And it's become like such a, like, sort of like the roots of how Atlanta, like, sort of blew up, right?
Yep.
So I moved back, and I had a different business, and I was making a few bucks, and I got season tickets, and I was excited. Like, I was really excited, and I would see our stadium be, like, half full of the other team's fans.
I know.
And I was pissed, and then there's all these fucking Bulldog fans, and I'm like, we have a pro team to support. Support your pro team. You don't even go to University of Georgia. So that's my sort of, you know, anti-Bulldog statement.
No, I agree with you. Dude, when I started the Falcons, when I would make phone calls to people, they'd be like, sorry, you know, I've got my Bulldog season tickets. I don't need season tickets.
Right.
Pro team. Coming from Cleveland, pro teams, that's it.
Right.
You know, no college teams. You know, you had Ohio State, whatever, but still, everybody loved the professional team. So when I got down here, I was so confused. I didn't understand what was going on.
Right.
Why people were so obsessed with college football. Right. Now I get it.
Right.
But it was just so different from the north to the south being down here.
Yeah, and then we got good. One of the years I had season tickets was the year we went to the championship game and lost.
Was that in Philly?
No,
we lost
here to the Niners.
That's right. No, but we won in Philly previous, because we went up for that.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was heartbreaking. It really was. And then after that, they had a couple lousy seasons. But so working for the Dream.
Yes.
Again, this women's sports thing. People are not huge fans of the WNBA. Like, that's a tough ticket to sell, yeah?
It is a tough ticket to sell. You know, but the city really supported the team the first year I was there. We sold out our first game ever.
Does Arthur Blank also own them?
No, he doesn't. Originally, Ron Twilliger was with Trammell Crow. Wow, I can't speak.
Big residential firm.
He sold the team to Kathy Betty. Kathy Betty then sold it to Kelly Brock.
It's a lot of sales going on.
Yeah, it changed hands a little bit, but it's, you know, it's fundamental basketball. These ladies are really good. I bring my girls so they can understand what good basketball looks like, not like seven steps to the hoop or for a layup. So
listen to you.
They love it.
Hot take. Listen to you.
But, you know, I want my kids to understand that there's stuff for them to do after, you know, they don't have to, you know, focus on business. They can do really well in sports. They can do really well in, you know, whatever they want to do. So having them come to Dream Games, like Nikki Collin, who's the head coach, is awesome. She's amazing, and she's great with the ladies. The organization is just I still keep in touch with them to this day, and I love bringing my kids to those games. They're great.
So long term, though, like, how are they gonna move the needle?
They got to be creative. You know, experiential is where it is now. I mean, you told me yourself you were in experiential marketing. You know how important it is to grab that fan's, you know, thought process as soon as they walk in the door. So whether it's, you know, activations out on the court, activations in the concourse, different food options, you know, things for people to do. That's what's driving people to special events these days.
Well, I think that sort of leads to the bigger question then, right? So, like, now, right, season tickets not inexpensive.
Yep.
Especially now with the PSLs and all the rest of it.
Yep.
And I can sit home, right, with a gigantic fucking TV.
Yep.
Right, and my friends, and my beer, and my food.
Yep.
and the bathroom that I like, exactly. Why do I want to go to the stadium?
Exactly. And that's what everyone's trying to fight these days. So as you've seen with the Falcons, they're complaining because no one's sitting in the seats because they've created all these spaces around the stadium that everyone's trying. So it's like when they when they start the game, it's half empty.
Right.
So
really good food.
Yeah, really good cheap food. They did a great thing by like keeping everything really inexpensive, getting people there early to buy the food there. You know, it's really smart. But now it's like, where are the fans? They're out in the concourse, like hanging out, drinking beer and eating food.
Right.
So, oh no, by the way, there's a Falcons game happening. So it's kind of a different day right now. And we're trying to do the same thing. You know, create so many opportunities for different types of people. And oh, by the way, there's a golf tournament happening. So we're doing
well,
the same
but
thing?
You kind of, so I've only been to one in my life.
Oh my goodness!
And guess which event it was?
Was it last year?
No, I wish it was last year. It was your event. It was who won that year? Maybe Phil. 08, 09.
Oh yeah, it was probably Phil. Was it Phil and Tiger?
I didn't even go to the last. Maybe I did. I don't know. I know. I'm to say I'm even a casual fan would be too much.
Okay.
But just so you know, like so my general. Like, I'm guessing you're a few years younger than me. I'm 47.
I'm 43.
Okay, great. So, you know, when I grew up, I was like that boy that was like, my sisters wanted to watch whatever they wanted to watch, and I wanted to watch ESPN.
Yep.
It didn't matter what was on. Australian rules football, like whatever was on ESPN, I wanted to watch, right? And football was, of course, my favorite. And then as I got older, I watched sports less and less.
Uh-huh.
And then I would used to at least, like, okay, the playoffs are on, baseball, football, so I'll at least kind of follow those.
Yep.
Then it was like, well, I can't stay up as late, so I'll TiVo them. Same thing with like the college championship. Well, at least yep. I'll TiVo it. And now I don't even TiVo it. I can wake up the next day and I like look at my phone and not only tell me who won, but show me the best plays and show me the best whatever. Exactly. I know it's a different experience. And again, if I have skin in the game, it's way different.
Yes.
When the Falcons, you know, and or the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, trust me, I'm all in.
Yep.
But other than that, I will watch the Super Bowl. But
yes.
Like, regardless, I will watch the Super Bowl. But the point is that I'm just not that into it, right? As I've gotten older and older, and now, like, I don't even do fantasy football anymore, which is sacrilegious to some people, right?
I know.
Like, my interest is just waning because I've got three kids, and I've got a couple of businesses that I run, and there's just a lot fucking going on.
Yeah.
And I used to never want to be the person that only saw the highlights, but now it's kind of like...
convenience.
It's super convenient. And again, if I don't personally have skin in the game, then it doesn't really matter.
That's something that us sports marketers are really thinking about day after day, because the way people consume sports is so different than it has been in the past. There are so many opportunities for people to consume sports in different ways. You got your phone, you've got your computer, you've got your iPad, you've got your television. You know, there's so many different ways to watch sports. So again, it goes back to the experiential. Like, how can you bring that person in and get them to spend money on concessions, get them to watch what you're doing, and get them to enjoy, you know, an entire day at your venue.
Okay, so stadium, lots going on, blah, blah. When I went to the one tournament I went to, which was yours, I'm going to call it yours as if you own it and have forever, you don't have a lot of choices. There's like a clubhouse, right, situation.
Yes.
But most of the time you are walking and or running from hole to hole. So isn't that, like, that is your viewing experience. You have to follow the action.
So
no?
You have not been to the tournament in a long time. Because it's changed dramatically.
Have you added, like...
we've added a ton of
Kentucky
stuff.
Kentucky Fried Chicken and stuff? I mean, what...
no KFC. However...
are you a Coke-owned venue?
We are.
Okay.
Coke-only.
Okay.
So Coca-Cola and Southern Company are our proud partners. But we have so many different venues on course just for the general ticket holder. It's so different. You've got to come out this year. Kids get in for free, so your entire family gets in for free.
I'm sure my kids will sit perfectly still... while golf is going.
there's stuff for them to do. So we've got a So Cool Zone. We've got the Georgia Aquarium that comes out, brings out baby alligators. We've got a Coca-Cola fan lounge on 8 that has a putting, has a simulator. It has a photo booth. We've got this great activation on 8 Fairway called Peachtree Porch that's going to have NFA Burger, which is a pop-up burger guy that's amazing burgers. Hawker's Asian Street Fair.
I'll be all about those things if you can give me the, like, is there a speed pass? Like, I don't really wait in lines. I'm really not that kind of person.
I can give you a route that will get you around during specific times that can really not have you wait in line.
Okay.
So, we've got Back Nine Brews, which is a beer garden.
So you built all this stuff.
Yeah, we built a city. It takes us 3 months to do it.
Now, again, it seems like that would be antithetical to the old school golf fan that just wants to watch the golf.
Yep.
But that's okay with you.
We've got spaces where you can just watch golf, and we've got spaces where you can party, have a great time, whether you're five with your parents or, you know, you're 23 and you just want to hang out and drink beer all day.
What's the average age of an attendee to your to this big tournament?
So typically,
and by the way, what do you do the rest of the year? I wanted to get to that.
Focusing on this tournament.
Napping, getting my nails done.
Sleeping, getting my hair done. I get a massage every morning.
Your nanny gets the massage and the nails done.
God. Goodbye, Presley. Today's the last day. Throughout the year, we are focusing on this tournament. So one of the cool things about this tournament that not many people know about is that everything we do, once we pay our bills, goes back to charity. We fund $3 million goes back to the Eastlake Foundation, Purpose Built Schools Atlanta, Grove Park Foundation.
Does it go to Drew, my kid's school?
Yes, a ton of it goes to Drew.
Okay.
A ton of it goes
okay,
to Drew.
Okay, so why do I have to buy tissues for my kid's classroom? Can we discuss this?
We don't fund the entire thing.
Can we discuss this, though? Can we go off topic and discuss this for a second?
So my teacher told me he didn't need any more tissues when I walked in the door yesterday, so okay. I'm pretty psyched about that. But yes,
maybe he wants the special...
No Ziploc bags either.
Maybe he wants the special route. Maybe he thinks it's cool to be nice to you. I'm being serious. When we went, I hate to sound like this old folky, but in a billion years, could you imagine your teachers asking our parents to, like, by the way, buy us crap for our classroom?
Yep. I know, but it's a charter school, so it's.
I think the public schools all do this, though.
They do. But another cool thing, I don't know if you know this, but Drew is giving free lunches to the kids. They have chefs now that are cooking the food for them. So your kids' lunches are all free for the entire year.
I don't have to apply for it?
You do not have to apply for it.
Because we've definitely done that route.
Yep. You don't have to apply for it. Nothing. Every kid gets free lunch this year.
For just this year?
I think it's through APS. I think all of APS is doing it.
That sounds like a good move.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay.
Back up. Yes. Back to golf.
Right.
So tiring. But how could you be bored by golf if last year, I mean, Tiger on 18.
Best thing to happen, you
guys.
That
was so freaking amazing.
Best thing to happen. It's funny. You know what's interesting about that? My wife knew Tiger won that tournament.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what was great about that was, I'm kind of getting goosebumps now, is that, like, you know, for everything I just said about not giving a shit and watching on my phone,
yep.
That captured all of us because we all love a good comeback story.
Yep.
And that's what we love about sports, right?
Yes.
We love drama. We love, there's a winners and losers. There's like all the reasons, you know, we love sports. And, you know, I remember saying that to Stacey, like, this just hasn't happened in a long time. That a thing, those people knew, everybody mm-hmm. fucking knew, like, did you hear Tiger won? And then we all watched
and it was at Eastlake.
Right.
It's kind of like our city's championship, really, because we haven't had one in a long time.
So can you tell me about your day that day?
Yes. So all throughout the week, it was really exciting because he was moving up in the ranks and moving up in the ranks. And Sunday came and I get the ticket report and I look at how many tickets had sold the night before. And I just smiled because I knew it was going to be an amazing day.
Right.
Following all day long, going back and forth between the different scenarios. I'm getting texts from people like, oh, my gosh, can you believe this is happening? And I'm just sitting there focusing on what's happening. So I move over to 18 and I'm standing there. Tiger tees off, and all of a sudden I see this massive crowd coming towards me, and I'm like, oh, shit. All these people are coming towards me. All the security is trying to run up and try and get them behind a rope, back them up. But what's awesome was they all stopped. They all stopped in a line. They were really respectful, and through, like, parting of the Red Sea, here comes Tiger and Rory with some, you know, bodyguards and such, and they kind of walk through, and everyone's smiling and chanting and cheering his name, and all of a sudden, I look to the girl next to me, as our social media person, I'm like, please get this all on camera, and he won. I started tearing. Like, of course. It was the most exciting.
I'm starting to tear now. You're just describing it to me. Was there a moment when the sea came that you were like, oh, shit?
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, this is not good?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, my. I started running up and trying to push people back. Like, not push them back, but just try to stop them.
Right.
And then our entire security team, all of our vice chairs and our operations people run out on this. And it stopped. And it was like, oh my, I was so nervous for a second, and then all of a sudden it was like calm.
Right.
And then he kind of walked through. And
right.
It was, I've been in sports for 20 years, and I have to say that that was the most amazing moment that I've ever experienced.
So I'm totally getting teary-eyed now. This is so weird, because I'm thinking about, like, you know, it goes down in, like, top 20, like, all time.
Yeah.
Right? There's, like, you know, there's, like, the Immaculate Reception and the catch and, like, you know, various. So I was... I was at the Brave Stadium when Sid Bream came home.
Oh, wow.
Was that 94? 92? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
So I was at that game. And whenever that shows up on, you know, greatest sports moments, greatest baseball, whatever, I'm like, I was there. You know what I mean? So you get to have this experience where not only were you there, but you have the job that you have, and like 10 years, 20 years from now, people are going to be... And because it does transcend
the
boring sport of golf.
Absolutely does. Not boring.
They didn't tell you I was totally going to bust your ball this entire interview, did they?
You know, there's a really cool story behind this, though. So when I was a senior in high school, we had to do something called a Genesis Project. And you had to basically do an internship with what you wanted to do with the rest of your life. So I wanted to be a sports broadcaster.
So did I!
Really? So
we'll get to that.
We ended up, I was doing my internship with Fox in Cleveland, and they took me to a golf tournament. Jack Nicklaus was hosting an NAACP tournament, and I went with one of the broadcasters and said, you know, Allison, I want you to go sit with this gentleman. Jack's a little bit of a tough interview. I'm going to have you go sit over here. This gentleman, he just got his scholarship to Stanford. Amazing kid. It was Tiger. I got to run around in a golf cart with Tiger for like an hour just talking Indians baseball. We talked about racquetball because I played racquetball kind of professionally for a little bit.
What?
I know. It's a little weird. And we talked about golf and what he was going to school and stuff. And then to be able to stand next to him last year and be there when he got his trophy.
Did you remind him?
No, I didn't.
You didn't do a little poke?
No, I didn't. And I swear at some point I will.
Yeah, you have to. Maybe this year. Would you do it this year?
Maybe. If I can get some time with him, I'll pull him aside and tell him.
I mean, I'm sure he's got a lot of those stories and may not remember.
Yeah.
But he might. He might be like, you know what? I remember that day because you bought me a fucking ice cream cone. You know what I mean? It could be.
You never know.
Right.
So it was just really cool to, like, 20 years later to be there when he gets his trophy. Like, amazing.
See, now I'm going to cry again.
I know, right?
This is what I get for being mean to a golf lady.
Not boring golf lady.
Not boring golf lady. Super thrilling.
Yeah.
Who did you like watching announce when you were young?
I always liked Mr. Carey.
Yeah?
Yeah. I always thought he was really great. I mean, you know, I'm an Indian. Like, baseball was my thing when I was little.
Right.
So I always went to Indians games with my family. I loved going to those. Those are kind of my memories. Like, with my stepdad, we would go. I mean, he had season tickets, and that was my jam when I was young. So baseball was kind of it for me. Never really paid attention to the announcers a ton.
Well, so, like, I tell people that my heroes were, like, Howard Cosell and Bob Costas.
Yes, Bob Costas was amazing.
And,
I loved Dan Patrick when I was young.
Yeah, well, Dan Patrick was here, you know.
Yeah.
He was our local guy.
Yep.
So I still think about that, even though he's mega, mega huge now. And there's another scenario in my life where I go that train, where I, like, try to go study communications and, like, go be an intern somewhere and blah, blah. And it like, didn't work out that way for me.
Mm-hmm.
But in this super, super sun is coming out, and I misjudged where the sun would be. I'm going to move one chair over. In this super bizarre way my life has gone, which we can get more into later, like, I sort of ended up doing what I always wanted to do, which was, like, talk to people and, you know what I mean? Like, in this, so I'm in this sports world, this obstacle racing stuff.
Yep.
And I'm, like, the Bob Costas of that world. You know what I mean?
Love it.
So, anyway.
You're doing what you love, which is great.
Yeah, but it's weird because I don't think a lot of kids have that dream. You know what I mean? Necessarily.
Yeah. No, it's, and really I was kind of held back by it because once I found out everything you needed to do, once you get into broadcasting, it's so hard. I mean, you've got these people that go to these podunk towns and they're like videoing themselves. And I was like, whoa, this might not be what I want to do.
But in my 20s, I totally could have done that. Make money, travel around. Yep. But I didn't, honestly, I didn't have the confidence. If you can believe it, this very confident person you speak before you, oh my God. I was like, here's, so real quickly, my friend said from the time I was little, you should go do stand-up comedy. And I was like, you are out of your fucking mind if you think I'm ever, ever, ever going to do that. And then I ended up doing it for 10 years. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's why I left here. I went to Boston, I went to LA, and I tried to go that route. But yeah, I just never, I never had the confidence to whatever. And it's funny, you know, you say like, go to some podunk town and set up your own camera. And it's like, well, isn't that what we're all doing now?
Yeah. Right?
I'm holding up my phone. That, like, that, thankfully, like, I now make a living because I get, because, like, you couldn't have done this.
No, you couldn't have.
That you just go, you know what? I'm gonna report the news. I'm gonna be your sportscaster.
Yeah, no, it's really funny you say the confidence thing, because that's something that I had issues with too. Like, I couldn't get up and speak in front of people. Like, INCO, like the speech class in college.
INCO?
We called it INCO, INCO 101.
What does it stand for?
Intercommunication.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't do it. I had to drink like 3 beers before I got up and gave a speech in my class, and now I do it all the time.
Were you slurring your words?
No.
Three beers is a lot.
Come on. I mean, you had light beer. It's like water. So, I was in college. I had a tolerance back then. So, yeah, but now it's something I love to do. Give me a mic. I'll talk to anyone.
So, I want to know how you still ended up from, how you went from, you were at the, it's funny, Atlanta Motor Speedway. Whenever there's events there or I go there, like, I think about, so I manage a staffing company, right?
Okay.
So like, hey, we need 5 girls to work the Camel booth or the Pepsi thing,
yep,
or the Combos booth or whatever. And that was my life. Like, that was, you know, all, yep, these venues. Like, I've been to the frickin', you know, Michigan International Speedway. I've been to the Kansas,
yeah,
Speedway. I've been to, you know, a whole, I went on tour. I was on fucking state fairs and ate all that crappy food. Like, that was my 20s, basically.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, so with the Dream, they ended up kind of shutting the doors for a little bit once the ownership group, it was right when the market hit a downturn. And I was actually going to stay home with my daughter for a little bit. And then I got a call from the Speedway, from my now mentor who runs Charlotte Motor Speedway, Greg Walter, asked me to come in and interview. And it was something completely different than what I'd done before. I was always doing ticket sales. This was sponsorship sales. So I went from a vice president to an account executive and worked my way up. And before I left, I was the vice president of sales for the Speedway. Was there for 8 years. And I loved what I did. So selling sponsorship for NASCAR, you can be so creative. You can slap a logo on anything and make money off of it. So believe me, I did that as much as I possibly could. And in April of 2017, I got a call from the PGA Tour asking me to give some feedback on the Tour Championship event. And they actually called me to talk about a position. So it's very, you know, you make a name for yourself. You do well at your job. And I haven't had to really apply for a job in the past probably 12 years.
That's great.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And, you know, you get the chance to really kind of pick and choose what you want to do and do what you love.
I still, this is kind of fascinating to me, though. Atlanta Motor Speedway, your job now, you are talking about 1 or 2 events a year.
Yes.
And so, you know, I joked about it being like, oh, you don't work the rest of the year, but it also feels like a shitload of pressure. Like, okay, here comes everybody for this one weekend.
Yep.
Here comes 200,000 people or whatever it is.
One chance to make a first impression. That's
right.
Something I say all the time, because there's no redo. There's no makeup. You have to get it right the first time or those fans not going to come back. So you have to be very organized. We have a timeline and what we follow. You know, we compare ourselves year over year every single day. It's a lot of pressure, but it's also best of both worlds. I'm not working 80 games. I'm not working, you know, crazy hours. The month up leading up to, yes, we are. We absolutely are. But it's not as stressful as you would think it is. So that's why I love what I do, because I can still have a family. I can still be with my kids. But work is still something that is a big focus during this time of year.
So you mentioned when you were with the Falcons about someone saying you couldn't do your job because you were a woman. Golf is historically old and white.
Yes.
And male.
It is.
Let's talk about that.
So, all right. I have tried my hardest to really create a space at the golf course, and our whole team is doing this, to make it all inclusive for everybody. The great thing about Atlanta is we've got such a diverse town, and to make Eastlake Golf Club and the Tour Championship an all-inclusive space for everybody. And you'd be surprised, coming to the tournament and looking around, it is a very diverse group compared to a lot of sporting, especially compared to a lot of golf events. You know, I'm working with the HBCUs, I'm working with sororities and fraternities. We're working with the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, you know, really trying to make that outreach, because golf is fun and it's very fun for a lot of different people. It's just making sure that they feel comfortable coming out to the golf course and enjoying a day watching golf. And I think we're getting there. This town has really started to embrace this event. And it's just about creating those experiences for everybody now, making them feel like they're included.
Why don't you explain how the recent changes, goes to show you how much research I'm doing, the recent changes to the tour, and how the tour winner is now the tour of the winner of the cup.
Yep. So last year you had two winners. We had Tiger Woods, who won the Tour Championship, and you had Justin Rose that won the FedEx Cup. That's not going to happen this year. We have one winner. Change the scoring system, make it really easy. Where before, it was hard. You're coming down 18. There were 15 different scenarios for every single player. Like, Dustin Johnson didn't even know that he needed to make a birdie in order to go in contention to play for the FedEx Cup with Justin Rose. So it was tough. No one knew what was happening. So now with this scoring system, basically, the person with number one in points will come in at 10 under. Second person will come in at 8 under. 7 under, 6 under, 5 under. And then every player will regress by one stroke per five players. And then 26th through 30th will end up at even par. So you look at the leaderboard, you know exactly what's happening. It's easy for the fans. It's easy for the players.
Are you going to have two sets of...
No, one leaderboard.
So, but the one leaderboard, if they're coming in at whatever, don't you have to have their current and their ranking on the... No?
No. 10 under is number one. 8 under is number two. 7 under is number three. And down the line, up to 30th. So that's how it will show. So you look at the leaderboard, you know exactly what's happening.
But if I'm not 10 under... Wait a minute. If I'm not 10 under, if I'm whatever I'm at as the leader...
So throughout the day, let's say 10 under falls to 8 under and someone moves up and is 9 under, then that person is leading now. It's all based on the score. It's not on the person and where their rankings
are. But they might not be 10 under. Nobody might be 10 under.
You start that way regardless. So when number one comes in.
So I start the day.
You start the day on Thursday at 10 under.
Okay. So
number
okay,
one does.
Okay. Okay.
So if
I'm going to now explain this to regular people, because
yes,
it took me a little while, and I actually relatively understand sports and golf.
Yes.
So it's like giving someone 14 points to begin a game in, say, a football game. Like, hey, you come to this game and you're already 14 points up.
Yep.
So the other team has to do X just to catch you.
Yes.
And then beat you.
Yes.
So, got it. That does make sense. Do golfers like it or not like it? Are the fans liking it or not liking it?
The golfers like it because it takes away the confusion of looking at the leaderboard and saying, what's happening?
Doing
Where
math in
am
their
I?
Head,
yes.
Right.
Fans, I don't know if the fans like it yet because this is
Well,
the
you watch the social
it.
Media, you watch the chatter, you're in the boards.
I think that they're going to like it.
You're in the boards as a lurker probably,
you know,
under a fake name.
You've got people that are, you know, why are you changing this? But then you've got people that are like excited about it because it does make it easy. Not only did we change the scoring, we changed the date. Date moves up a whole month this year. So we're August 21st to the 25th. Usually in September, we're out of college football. We're out of professional football. Last year, there were 350,000 paid sporting event tickets out in the marketplace during our event.
And today?
Zip. You've got the Braves that are playing Wednesday, Thursday. You've got a preseason game for the Falcons on Thursday night, but that's really it.
Preseason is garbage.
You said it.
Preseason is effing garbage. I'm going to tell you something, lady.
Tell me.
I learned something very valuable. I had season tickets, right, to the Falcons. Mm-hmm. And the first year, I didn't go to any preseason for whatever reason. The second year, I went because I was excited because, like, I'd kind of made friends with my section buddies who all promised they were coming back, and none of them did, those fuckers.
Ooh.
one of them moved up, the rest of them are gone. But I went to a preseason game, and I was just like, why is this not exciting to me? It's not the players are different. It's that the stakes are.
Yeah.
And NFL, every week, there's so much stakes are high.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned that lesson again when the football season ended. Me and my friend had gone to all the games, and we were excited. And we're like, well, let's go see the Force. What are they called?
Yeah, Georgia Force.
Went to the Georgia Force. And again, like, the game starts, and we're kind of looking around. And people are like, oh, they try harder because they're not these overpaid athletes and blah, blah, blah. But again, it's like, there's no stakes. No. How can I possibly care? I really wanted to. I drove an hour north to see these guys. And after 2 weeks, we just stopped going.
Yeah.
And it was only $100 for the whole season. So it was like, I should have tried to sell them online, but I just gave up. I was just like, I'm not driving an hour north. So that's what makes the NFL so special, is that there's only 16 games, mm-hmm. and the stakes are high every week. And that's why they shouldn't make the season longer. It's perfect how it is. Now, they probably will, because they love money, those greedy bastards. But it's perfect how it is. Your thoughts?
My thoughts is they create. So I worked for the Georgia Force for a while when the Falcons owned it. I loved the game just because it was really fast-paced. It kept people interested. You've got some people that are like you, that are like, the stakes, you know, NFL is super exciting. But then you've got people that are just like, oh, my God, I love football so much, and I don't care where I get it.
I tried. And dude, that's the thing. The guy called me. Your sales guy called me. You probably hear his boss. Hey, man, you want Georgia's Force tickets, man? We see you're a Falcon season. Yeah. You want Force tickets? I was like, how much? He was like, $100. I was like, per game? Because that sounded high to me. Because I was paying $78 per game for the Falcons. He's like, no, for the season. I'm like, sold. Give me two.
Sign me up.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's a perfect example of the Alliance of American Football. I mean, look at what happened there. It was good football for a little bit. And then it's just the business model and such. It's NFL is like king. I don't know how the XFL is going to deal. There's just not that many great players out there to really give depth to that team.
Well, here's two things we can talk about then.
Okay.
Okay? That I would like to get your thoughts on.
All right.
The flag thing.
Yeah.
Came to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I got press pass for that. I brought my son. We went to watch it. It was like, it was up at Kennesaw. It was pretty empty. Yeah. There was not a lot of excitement there. So I was like, whatever, right?
Yep.
I interviewed the guy, you've probably heard of him, whatever his name is. And it's funny because, you know, everybody thinks they hung the moon, and that's okay. Yep. Like, you think your tournament hung the moon. This guy thinks flag football hung the moon. It's fine.
But we did hang the moon last
year. Of course.
Yeah.
But it was like, whatever. So a couple months later, this three ball comes to town. The 3-on-3.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a media pass for that. And I was like, you know, I'd gone to this other thing, and it wasn't even that big of a deal, and nobody was there and whatever. I see the pictures the next day. And fucking Usher is there, and like Ice Cube is there, and like everybody came.
Okay.
And it sold the F out. They wouldn't even give me a media pass this year.
Oh my gosh. I mean.
So talk to me. Why do you think that is? Why do you think people go bananas for ex-NBA players and not flag football players?
Well, flag football is boring. There's no hitting.
Michael Vick was there, Ocho Cinco was there, and nobody could have cared.
There was no hitting. There's just, I don't know. Football is football, and that's not football to me. Three ball, they're doing it right. You know, they've got some great backing, and it's honestly, it's like fundamental basketball again. I mean, you've got three people. You've got to depend on these people, and it's got to be good basketball in order to, you know, be exciting. So, plus you've got a little bit more star-studded, you know, backing and such there. It's a lot of it is about influencers and getting people there and seeing, hey, if, you know, who'd you say was there? You know,
I want to say Usher, but it's like name like five Atlanta, like they were all there. And I was so mad because I didn't go, and I kind of didn't, was like, and again, had I not had that football experience, I probably would have gone. You're changing seats now,
yeah.
Too? I thought we judged the sun appropriately. It was like the toast of the freaking town.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's something that we do as well. You'll see throughout our marketing, we'll bring out, last year we had Ed Reed, we had Vince Carter, we had Big Boy, you know, you name it, we brought him out to the tournament, and it's all about being seen, and,
why
you know,
does a former NFL safety want to show up to the golf tournament? Is he from here?
A lot of people, yes. A lot of people, golf is the second most played sport out of professional athletes.
Don't even give me that.
Swear to you.
Oh, professional athletes? Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You know what the number one is?
their sport?
Poker. They're bored easily, these guys. They need to bet on things.
I know, right?
So, as I was asking you that, I think also, you know, the NBA is having a moment.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the NBA was not the number one sport in this country. You know what I mean? And now it's NFL and them.
Yep.
And they're doing everything right that, dare I say, baseball is not.
Yes.
Your thoughts?
I agree. Perfect example, you know, you've got the Hawks who are up like 70% in terms of ticket sales. Again, it's going back to the experiential. I think the Braves are doing a good job. Just look at the park and look at everything that's going on there. Their business model is amazing. So they can cover, you know, when baseball gets into that lull and, you know, they've got all these other business ventures in terms of the battery and such. That's kind of the next model that everyone's moving to. Basketball is exciting right now, you know, with the different trades and stuff. I'm really bummed about Kent Bazemore and how he's not in Atlanta anymore. Huge golfer. Always came out to the tournament. So going to miss him. He was a friend of the tournament. But I think some exciting things with all the changes with State Farm Arena now. Again, it's going back.
It's still Phillips to me, but that's okay.
I know, right? I mean, it's still Turner Field to me.
It's still Turner Field to me.
It's tough. But now it's going to be like Truist Field.
What?
So, with the merger of BB&T and...
What?
Oh, my gosh. Have you been living under a rock? Come on now.
Who is buying it?
So, no, it's SunTrust and BB&T are merging, and their new name will be Truist. So, they're going to end up having to change
really
a lot
stupid.
Of signage over there. I don't envy them.
I don't either.
Yeah.
My wife is from San Francisco, and, like, every summer that we would visit, like, the signs on the highway were different. Like,
oh, yeah.
Not even joking. Like, AT&T Park. Pac Bell Park,
yep.
Monster.com Park. Like every fucking year they were changing it.
I remember that. I was out there for some of those.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you were in Cali. Yeah, so I think whoever designed Ice Cube and whoever else is behind the three ball thing, they definitely like timing is kind of everything because yep. definitely like a few years before or after, but like I feel like they definitely like they hit the sweet spot of
yep.
everybody loves basketball. The kids love basketball.
Yes.
My kids know who Steph Curry is.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So and they don't watch any NBA. That was the other thing that was fascinating to me. When we're playing, we start just like throwing the football in the yard and my kid is doing like moves and stuff, like jukes and Odelling and uh-huh. all that stuff. And he doesn't know that from watching football. He knows that from video games.
Oh, yes. Video games. Yep. Video games, YouTube. I mean, perfect example. Are you familiar with Dude Perfect?
Yes.
So they are somebody that is so big right now, like 44 million views on YouTube. They're coming. They're playing at Eastlake next week. And I mean,
can you introduce me to those guys?
You're number 10 that's asked me that. Okay. I've never even heard of Dude Perfect before this. But it's like these just ways of watching and consuming media is just so different these days to say these guys are YouTube stars, not television stars, YouTube stars. It just blows my mind.
Well, if you're a dude, if you're a guy, that's like that's all you did. Like that you're kind of like your whole life
yeah.
is like, oh, you see that big green egg over there? I wonder if I can throw my keys into it,
yep.
right? And then you would try 20 times.
Yep.
And so these guys, you know, they get it on one try,
yeah.
quote unquote. Who knows how many it really takes them.
Exactly.
I'm sure people ask them that all the time. I would not ask them that question because I'm a really good interviewer. all right. Well, if I'm 10th in line for those guys, how about Jim Nance? Can I get Jim Nance?
Hey, maybe. You never know. Come on out.
Am I the 10th person that asked you to?
No, I have not gotten the question about Jim Nance
All right. So
yet.
I'm first in line for that one. Sweet. Where were we?
We were just talking about the NBA three ball and.
Yeah, I have to say, interestingly enough, the person that sold me my season tickets, I still know that woman. She might have worked with her. Her name was Kristen.
At the Falcons?
I don't know what her last name is now. Yeah, back when she moved to Denver and we still like I visited her and when I've been out there, we had a good relationship. She took care of me, man, because I think I started.
When did you buy? When did you buy them?
Like 8, 9, 10, 11?
I was gone in 7.
Oh, okay. So I just missed you.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, because I started just going to onesies. Like, hey, what's the best seat I can get for this game?
Yep.
And then I eventually bought season tickets. Anyway, we had a swell relationship. So I usually wrap up with some Atlanta-based questions.
Okay.
It's the Atlanta favorites. Okay?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
What is your go-to order when you go to the Waffle House?
two eggs over medium, covered and smothered hash browns, large, because I'm obsessed with them, and then an order of bacon.
Hash browns, it's usually you get a double order. It's not really a large.
No, it's a large. Check the menu.
Okay. And how do you take your hash browns?
Covered and smothered.
Okay.
Cheese and onion.
Okay. Rank these in importance to you. This is where we go with this question.
Okay.
Falcons, Braves, Hawks, United. Tough one for you.
It is.
But I ask everybody these questions.
I would say exactly in your order.
Yeah?
Yep. Falcons, Braves, Hawks,
give me a fist
United.
Bump. Every Absolutely. Fucking hipster that sits in that chair says United first, and I want to kick them onto the belt line.
No, I'm
so
not.
So get on your damn bird scooter and get out of here.
Soccer is, I'm not a person that's a big fan of soccer. It's hard for me to get into that one.
Right.
I broke my big toe playing soccer in college, and ever
can
since
we
then.
Can we talk about this professional racket playing tour you played on?
Yes, I was on the U.S. national team, junior U.S. national team for racquetball. I played at the U.S. National, Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. It was just something I did when I was little, got into it, and I loved it. It was great.
Did you want to be like the Steffi Graf of racquetball?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
And?
You didn't become it? No, I didn't. Kind of stopped playing after college for a while. Picked it back up a little bit before I had my first daughter, and then haven't played since. So.
I didn't even know how racquetball worked. I saw it, but my brother-in-law explained it to me because he plays.
Yep. Great sport. Great. You run an average of a mile and a half per match. You know, it's just in a little box. So it's fun.
Kroger or Publix?
Kroger.
Interesting.
Kroger. ClickList is my friend. In fact, I got it last night. They have.
Well, with the nanny gone, life gets really difficult.
Yes,
they have to purchase your own groceries.
Yeah, I know, right? God, first world problems. First world problems. They're just more, they're less expensive.
Not a sponsor of your tournament.
Not a sponsor.
Neither one are.
Nope.
Okay. Complete this sentence. I take Marta blank.
To sporting events.
It's the fourth most common answer.
Yes.
Do you know what the number one common answer is?
What? Airport.
Airport second. Number one is almost never. Second is airport. Third is to
gotcha.
United or Hawks games.
Yep.
What is your current favorite eating establishment in Atlanta?
So my birthday was Friday. And honestly, like, I'm obsessed with hibachi. Love it. And we went to Nikado for the first time. And it was...
What's it called?
Nikado.
Where is it?
It's on Cheshire Bridge.
Okay.
One of the best places I've ever eaten. It was so good. So good. So I'm going to have to say that right now.
Okay. What is the best festival you enjoy attending in Atlanta?
Goodness. Honestly, I love Oysterfest.
Interesting.
That's a fun one.
Not heard that one.
Let's see. I mean, Dogwood's great. Honestly, I love hanging out kind of in, like, Decatur. I'm really looking forward to Barbecue and Blues. It's happening next weekend. So, I try to go out and take a look at everything just through the lens of a fan so I can see and I can poach little ideas here and there to add to our tournament's experience. So,
do you sometimes find it, because when you say that, like, I think that way a lot. I think in terms of experience and in terms of production, because I've been to so many events, and because,
yep.
You know what I mean? So it's like, and now when I go to these races, I kind of look for the flaws.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Because I can't not see them. And
exactly.
To some people, they're like, why do you care? And I said to, like, my friend, I said, this race won't be back. And he said, why do you say that? I'm like, well, this and this and this. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, but it's not that big of a deal. I'm like, I'm telling you, if these are the kinds of issues they have, they're never coming. And
exactly. And
I was correct.
Exactly.
Do you sometimes wish you could just be a person?
I know, right?
just enjoy.
I can't go to a sporting event and actually watch what's going on.
Right.
I'm looking at everything, like, from sponsors to activation to operational things. It's hard for me to go to an event and really enjoy myself these days.
Well, I remember my friend and I talking about that at a Braves game, that, like, every half inning they were doing something, and it was way too much.
Yep.
Everything was a marketing opportunity.
Yes.
Whereas in football... they don't need to, it felt like, because the stakes were so high, as we discussed. Like, they did the Home Depot whatever at the beginning of
the tool challenge
the first
where they run.
No, the first drive was always the quick crete drive and... You got to remember these from the old days.
Oh, yeah.
And if we scored, the person won $5,000 or whatever.
Yep.
And then maybe once during the game, they'd go to the cute girl in the stands and say, we're here with this guy. But not a lot of it because they don't need to because the product is so good.
Exactly. Marketing is different between every single league. And it's also, too, depends on how good the team is. Like, you know, I found it very interesting when I moved here. It was really weird for me to see teams marketing the opponents and not their own teams. Because sometimes, you know, when teams are doing poorly, they've got to do that in order to get fans in the stadium. So it was interesting to see that.
Well, okay, here's an interesting question. This whole concept of, well, this is going to be my team.
Yeah.
Why didn't that work for the Thrashers?
Because hockey's been out there, and you've got a lot of a lot of cities that have hockey.
Oh, right.
You know?
So, like, they came here as a Blackhawks fan.
Yes,
but nobody has a soccer team.
Exactly.
So they can latch on.
Exactly. I loved Thrashers games. I was at them all the time.
You loved worked them. For them?
My husband worked for them.
Who does he work for now?
He works for the Commerce Club.
The Commerce Club?
Yes.
Is that a thing?
Club Corp. It's in the 191 building. So he sells memberships. He's a membership director.
Okay.
Previously was with the Alliance of American Football.
So that's why you were freely to speak that why they didn't last? Oh, wait a minute. Are they still around or no?
No. They are not. Closed doors April 1.
How many seasons did they have?
Not even one. They made it to their eighth game. They had 8 games out of 10.
I'm so confused. There's so many leagues. Because then there was that other one.
Well, you got the XFL that's coming out next year.
We'll talk about that. But I'm saying there was another league, the UFL. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I don't understand why people try. It's not working. I mean, they've seen it. It's a tough situation.
I think it's that theory of there's so much money in football, I only need a little of it to work.
Yeah, but you need a lot of, you know, just there's so much planning.
But you guys clearly had to buy in, right?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
You guys were like, this is going to work.
He was.
Were you honest with your husband or no?
Yeah, I was nervous. I was scared. You know, it's a brand new venture, and it's a risk. I'm proud of him for taking a risk because he loved football. He was one of those guys that's just like, I just want to get back into football. Like, I love football, and I want to see this succeed. And they had a great product. They had a lot of fun at the games. It was exciting. The app was really cool.
We didn't even have a team, though, did we?
Yes, we did.
What was our team?
Atlanta Legends.
Oh, my God. We did. That's right. We did.
Played at Georgia State Stadium. But
well, you know what? Whoever ran their social media would not get back to me.
Really?
I messaged them multiple times. Before, and it wasn't even that, the channel didn't even have that many followers, and I was like, I think I emailed and social, like, hey, I'd love to talk to you guys. The press people were bad.
Well,
he wasn't the press guy, was he?
No, he wasn't.
Okay. Because I reached out multiple times and said, I'd love to come to a game, I'd love to interview some players, I'd love to help promote this thing, this is cool. Because now I remember they're purple and shit.
Yeah.
Never got back to me.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yep. They're gone.
Au revoir, AAFL. I think people will, much like the first XFL, people will certainly watch the first one.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you know.
Because of the name.
The name and the legend of Vince.
But
Vince is not the man he was 25 years ago.
No, he wasn't. And he's funding a lot of this on his own, which was the big issue with AAF. They ran out of money. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Do you follow wrestling at all?
Not at all.
Those guys.
Yeah.
Talk about a marketing machine.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting.
Every week, week in, week out, all year.
Yeah.
I got into it recently because my son started watching it.
Okay.
And I actually met a WWE referee. And so we go to the matches when they come to town. And, you know, every year their Super Bowl is this thing called WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And weeks leading up to it, you know, they have 2 shows a week.
Yep.
Monday and Tuesday. Plus, they do what they call the house shows, the ones that aren't aired on TV.
Oh, my God.
All around the country. You know, town to town to town to town to town. WrestleMania comes, and you're like, oh, my God, it's Super Bowl, and all these storylines finally come to play, right? WrestleMania's on a weekend, and then Monday, it's as if nothing, boom, there's a Raw, there's a SmackDown, and I'm like, that's when it occurred to me, like, oh, my God, these people are working nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's good.
No.
I think they should give them a couple weeks off.
It's like a sideshow. I mean, like, it's crazy how much they do. I've had a couple of friends that have worked for them, and it's a lot.
It's, but I'm saying they're doing so much right.
Yeah.
Worldwide brand. It's amazing. I mean, they make something changes, something happens, boom, they make merch out of it.
Yeah.
And they sell that fucking merch.
Yes, they do. It's a pretty amazing model.
Yeah. And I think so. I think, you know, Vince and those people think, well, shit, we did it once. We should be able to
do
it again.
We can do it again.
Even though we failed so miserably 25 years ago.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see kind of what they do differently.
All right. The final question I'm going to ask you is, who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
Who should you have next? Whew. That's a good question. Wow. Can I get back to you on that one?
You can't.
You know, I'm going to bring it back and talk about, you know, another sports person.
Okay.
Carl Adkins.
Okay.
He was the gentleman that ran the Super Bowl. He's running the Final Four and the college championship games.
Okay.
I used to work for them at Dome, and he's got some amazing stories. I think he'd be fun for you to interview.
There okay, great.
Gotcha.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm going to come to your boring-ass tournament in a couple of days.
Wow, thank you. I'm so glad you're going to support it.
I'm totally going to support it. And
this
usually,
support your kids. It's true.
Trust me, that means a lot.
Yep.
Like, my wife will be like, yes, let's do that.
Awesome.
I mean, she won't go, but I mean, we have to get a sitter and all the rest of it.
Oh, I know.
But I will say that usually, like, we don't necessarily put these up, like, around time-based things. People are like, hey, we're doing this festival, and would you... But I will put this up, like maybe not this week, but next. When's the tournament?
August 21st to the 25th.
Okay. So I will put this up soon. And so people, if you're hearing this, you've now heard why you should go, and you should go.
Yep. TourChampionship.com. Get your tickets now.
All right. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. You learned a little bit about Allison and about the PGA Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Club. It is coming up August 22nd to 25th. Tickets are available. $9 million purse, the best golfers in the world fighting for this purse. And I hope you go down and check out all the new things he suggested you checked out, the kids section and all the other fun stuff. I'll let you know how it goes. I've got many, many great guests coming up, been racking them up down here, and I really appreciate your support. Once again, drop me a note, mattbdavis@icloud.com. Share it on Instagram. We're ETL Podcast on the Instagram. Share it on Facebook, wherever you share things, and tag us and tag me and all that fun stuff. All right. Peace out, Atlanta. Love you, Mr. Mean, and I gotta run.